From KLCC Media, this is the Oregon Grapevine. I'm Barbara Dellenbach. The Oregon Grapevine highlights fresh-pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live. John Obrantz is the director of the Hallie Ford Museum of Art, located in Salem. Thank you so much, John, for being on the Oregon Grapevine.
Well, delighted to be here.
Your museum, among other accolades, is the only liberal arts college museum in the region. I'd love to start with having you talk about how that is significant. What is the connection between Willamette University, and why and how does it matter that you're related and connected to an institution of higher education?
We were founded in 1998, and our purpose at the time, and really still is, to enhance and support the liberal arts curriculum of Willamette University. We do that through the collection, the preservation, the exhibition, and the interpretation of both historic as well as contemporary art, with an emphasis on the art of the region. So from the get-go, we were really founded to support what's going on in the classes, and to be essentially, almost a laboratory to support what's being taught at Willamette. And we do that quite often.
So how does that work? A student is studying something, and they use, you would use a library to do some research.
Right.
You
exactly.
would also then use the art museum, and how does that work?
We have a permanent collection of about, over 12,000 objects, and I can talk about the history of the collection. So we have a collection that is encyclopedic in nature. So we have Egyptian, Greek, Roman, medieval, Islamic, Asian, European, American, Native American, regional, African, Oceanic. I mean, it is truly an encyclopedic collection. Faculty who are teaching in those areas can request access to those objects. And so all of our permanent collection is available, or most of it is available, on our website and on a database. And faculty can, see what we have available, request, if those pieces aren't on view already, can request access to those. And then they can bring their class here. Faculty can actually teach from real objects as opposed to slides. So that's one way that faculty utilize the collection. We will organize temporary exhibitions. Historically, we've organized between 6 to 8 to 10 temporary exhibitions per year. And oftentimes we will organize those exhibitions around specific curricula that's being taught at Willamette. So for example, a number of years ago, Willamette used to offer a course. It was called Worldviews, and every freshman coming to Willamette was required to take Worldviews. And Worldviews looked at a particular culture over a four-year period. So one four-year cycle might focus on Latin America. The next cycle might focus on Victorian England. When I came, the focus was on 5th century Athens. And they looked at it from all freshmen who came here took Worldviews. And it was really looking at that particular culture holistically from the perspective of art, literature, religion, philosophy, history. And so early on, we organized a series of Greek and Roman exhibitions that tied in very specifically to Worldviews. And all the Worldview students who were taking the class during fall semester of 2000 wound up coming and actually being taught from the objects in this one big exhibition that we organized. So we work with faculty that way. We also, we'll also organize exhibitions and then reach out to faculty and say, for example, we're organizing an exhibition on Renaissance and Baroque drawings. How might you integrate what you're teaching this fall into what we're doing? So there's a lot of dialogue, a lot of interchange, a lot of back and forth between faculty and staff here. So we'll organize exhibitions, we'll organize educational programs around those exhibitions. Typically, they'll feature, at least one or in some cases multiple speakers. We'll oftentimes arrange in advance for those speakers to meet with faculty, to meet with classes.
This is kind of playing devil's advocate, but not completely. I think there's conversations around museums kind of being a dying breed. How do you get people to just come look at art and experience art in ways that are creative and moving into the future and keeping it vibrant and interesting? Which, of course, people who go to museums think that's ridiculous. Of course, it's vibrant and interesting, but younger generations maybe not. So, is part of the conversation and the desire to get younger people, college students, kind of understanding that museums are not just that. Is that one of the ideas between a collaboration at a university museum?
To an extent. I mean, we promote and market our exhibitions kind of across the Salem, Mid Willamette Valley, actually the Willamette Valley, and Oregon, landscape. So, and I've always believed that you build your audiences by reaching out and getting those kids, grade school and older, get them involved in in the arts, get them going to museums. Not all of them are going to become art historians or artists, but they can all become museum members and museum goers and museum advocates. I've talked to so many friends who've grown up in New York who remember as little children going to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. That's what they did with their parents on Saturday or Sunday. They'd go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and they, as a result of that, became lifelong museum goers. So museums aren't going to be for everybody. We want to make what we offer available, and accessible.
One of the collections, I believe, and maybe collections is too small a word, but one of the emphases of your museum has been art indigenous to the region. How did that kind of get started, and what is the status and understanding and scope of that piece of
Oh,
your
sure.
work?
By the art of the region, we have work by non-native and native artists. So, really, in terms of both, they've both native and non-native art has been integral to certainly the Hallie Ford Museum of Art from the get-go. Among the earliest objects, so Willamette was founded in 1842. By Methodist missionaries, Jason Lee. They actually granted their first degree in 1859. And so I mean, Willamette is essentially, well, it's not essentially, it is the oldest private university in the West. And among the earliest objects to physically enter Willamette's quote unquote art collection were Native American baskets. Gifted to Willamette by some of those early Methodist missionaries and descendants of those Methodist missionaries. At the end of the 19th century, Willamette had a quote unquote art collection that maybe only consisted of half a dozen baskets, but still that really represented kind of the core of the collection. In 1940, a large collection of about 300 baskets, actually over 300 baskets, was gifted to Willamette by a woman named Veda Cross Bird. Veda's father was a man named E.C. Cross, Edwin C. Cross. He was a butcher and owned a meat market here in Salem, and he was also he was an avid hunter and angler, and he would go on these hunting and fishing trips throughout Oregon. And during those trips, he would encounter Native American basket makers. And he began acquiring baskets. And of course, at the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century, most Victorian homes, most arts and crafts homes were often decorated, especially here in the West, with Native American baskets. And so he amassed a substantial collection, which he left when he died in 1921. He left his collection to his two surviving children. Veda's brother passed away in 1939, and so she was suddenly left with this enormous collection, and she donated that collection in 1940 to Willamette. So by the mid 20th century, Willamette had a pretty substantial collection of Native American baskets, and it also had another collection, a lithic collection of stone objects. In the 30s and the 40s, early 40s, Willamette's Archaeology Club excavated sites in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Unfortunately, many of those were burial sites, and so they were excavating sacred objects. Willamette, at one time, by the 1990s, had several thousand of these archaeological objects, sacred objects that needed to be accounted for. So we worked with NAGPRA, the Native American Graves and Repatriation Act, to repatriate many of those objects to their tribes of origin, including human remains. There were human remains that had been excavated as well. And those were returned to Grand Ronde and I believe Siletz and others. So there's this history at Willamette of having Native American material. And then in the late 1990s, they hired a young anthropologist named Rebecca Dobkins, who just recently retired a couple of years ago. She's still working as my curator of Indigenous art. But Rebecca was very interested in the work of contemporary Native American artists. And of course, when I came, I was very open to, as director, as the first director, the founding director, I was very open to us acquiring works by contemporary Native American artists in the region, artists like the late Rick Bartow, Lillian Pitt, Jim Lavador, Joe Federson, Marie Watt, and others. And so we've, in addition to the basket collection, we've built this pretty important collection of contemporary Native American art. Add to that, George and Colleen Hoyt are, George was a long time, he's a Willamette alum, long time Board of Trustees member. George passed away a couple of years ago, but in 2002, 2003, George and Colleen donated their collection of contemporary Northwest Coast Native art. So they had a collection of about, I'm going to say 750 objects, about 400 prints, and about 300, 350 masks, bentwood boxes, other carved wooden objects that were created by contemporary Native artists who live in BC and Southeast Alaska. One of the great sculptural traditions of the world is historic Northwest Coast Native art, the art of the British Columbia coast into Alaska. So works that are Tlingit, Haida, Nuchalnuth, Kwakwaka'wakw, Coast Salish, they are among the great sculptural traditions of the world. In the 19th century, those traditions were outlawed. And it was probably 50 to 75 years. In the 1940s and 1950s, a group of Native artists up in Victoria and British Columbia began to revive those traditions because they figured if they didn't revive them, they'd be lost. They started training artists, contemporary artists, modern artists, and during the 50s, 60s, 70s, all the way up to the present, those original artists who were active in the 40s trained the next generation, who trained the next generation, who are now training the fourth generation. And so we, in 2003, 2004, we suddenly inherited this substantial collection of Northwest Coast material. So we have a big collection of Native art. And we've also been very committed to showing, being a showcase for the work of both historic as well as contemporary regional artists. And these would be, non-native artists, white artists, basically. And we've amassed a substantial collection of Northwest art as well.
How did you John, kind of come to the life of a museum director?
How did I? Well,
how did
I.
You,
how did I?
Yes. How did you find yourself where you are? Always been interested in it, or just stumbled across it, or et cetera?
No, I was. I grew up in the 50s and 60s. I went to a state university up in Washington. I'm an ancient art historian, in more ways than one.
Now.
I'd always been interested in ancient art, ancient history, archaeology. I was born and raised in Tacoma and went to high school in Bellingham, Washington. And I went to Western Washington University as an undergraduate. And I started off as a classics major. I was gonna study Greek and Latin. That's what I was told was the path to becoming an archaeologist, which is certainly one of the paths, but it's not the only path. And so I took a year of Latin, and I realized that by the end of my freshman year that I wasn't really a linguist. And I thought, well, this is not, maybe a direction I should follow. So I switched from classics to anthropology. And in the fall of my sophomore year, I was taking a class on the peoples of Africa. I was encouraged to take a class called African Art. And so I wound up taking a class with an art historian named Tom Schlotterbach. Tom just opened my eyes to the world of art history. I had one of those aha moments, and I just fell in love with the field. And so I realized that one could major in art history, one could actually go on and get advanced degrees in art history, one could teach or work in museums. And so I graduated from Western. I worked in a pulp and paper mill for a couple of years, and then went on to graduate school at the University of Washington. And I was at the University of Washington working in the field of Greek and Roman art history and classical archaeology. And I was doing volunteer work at the Bellevue Art Museum, which had just opened in 1975. I thought, well, I'd like to get a little experience of something, doing something on my resume. So I started doing volunteer work there. They were completely volunteer operated. And I volunteered there for a year. And at the end of the year, as I was, finishing up my master's, they invited me to apply for the directorship. They said, I kind of took a look at my checking account and savings account and didn't have any money in it. And I thought, well, I'll do this for a couple of years.
Any job sounds good, right?
Yeah, any job sounds good. And so, one that's sort of tangentially related to art history. And so I applied for the job and I got it, and I thought, well, I'll work for a couple of years and then go back and finish up my PhD and teach. And of course, I never did. I had found a field that I absolutely loved. I loved the variety. I loved the action. I loved working with collectors and donors who were incredibly passionate about what they collected. I love the variety of working with different types of art and working with scholars in different fields. I love taking these sort of abstract concepts and kind of distilling them down and sharing them with a broad audience who maybe weren't necessarily trained in art history, but could develop an appreciation for art. So that's how I got into the field. And 50 years later, I'm still doing it, which is a long time. And then here in Salem, I mean, we've organized exhibitions of Greek and Roman art, Egyptian art, ancient Near Eastern art, a lot of contemporary artists. We've done major mid-career retrospectives and major retrospectives for most of the significant artists in Oregon and Washington.
As we kind of close the conversation, is there a kind of moment of inspiration or a word you have to say why it matters to check out museums, or maybe a story of someone you saw really turn around as they entered the Halle Ford or another institution?
Well, I'd say museums are transformational. They can be. Museums remind us of our humanity. Museums remind us of our history. Museums remind us of, beauty and goodness amidst all the, the wars and the chaos that we're experiencing in this country. You can go into a museum and you can be reminded of who we are as human beings. I think I've had so many. I met well, she's now middle-aged woman, a number of years ago, who we were chatting, and she said, "I remember going to the Bellevue Art Museum in 1978 when I was in grade school and seeing the Egyptian exhibition that you organized." And she said, that exhibit transformed my life. And she said, "When I was little, I wanted to be an archaeologist, but," she said, "I never became that. She became a school teacher instead." But she said, "That made me a lifelong museum goer and someone who, religiously takes her classes to museums on field trips." So it's nice to know when, when something that you've done, has touched somebody's life.
Thank you so much, John Obrantz from the Hallie Ford Museum of Art in Salem. I really appreciate hearing your story and about the museum. I am a fan of the museum. I've been there several times, and well, I'm an alum, so there you go. But thank
Oh,
you.
great.
But thank you so
Go
much. Go
Bearcats.
Bearcats. Although there was no museum, it was a telephone building when I was in school long ago.
Right.
But
Yes.
I love going back to the campus and seeing what's happened there. And really, thank you so much for your work.
Well, thank you so much. I've enjoyed this.
You've been listening to KLCC Media's The Oregon Grapevine, fresh pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live.